Greetings, friends. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer from upstate New York. Be very careful about who you share your personal information with when you go to places that require that you register and give contact information to the person sitting at the desk there when you go to wherever you're going to. I saw it happen at a ministry the other day that's like a charity giveaway ministry. Swimming pools are doing it in Canada. All kinds of a whole wide range of different entities and agencies and private establishments and public places and campsites and everything else are saying, I need your name, I need your contact information when you show up at this place, because in case somebody here gets sick later, we're going to come hunt you down, and that's what they do, and then lock you down. That's what it's for. So my recommendation, give them a false name, give them a phony address, and give them nothing that's accurate, or you're going to be receiving a lockdown order if you happen to be in a place where somebody else may have tested positive. The whole thing is nebulous. The whole thing is sketchy. The whole thing is completely without basis in fact or reality. To say that someone who tests positive on a test that where they come back 50 to 80% false positive, and then say because you were near that person who may not even be sick, that you're going to have to act like you're sick and stay home for a month or even a couple of weeks? I don't think so. This whole thing's a scam, and I'll tell you. So false information. Hi, my name's Homer Simpson. I live at 48 Maple Street on Mars. Make something up. Obviously, you don't want to be absurd. Make it, you know, don't sound like it's too far out there. But give them nothing that's accurate, because they're going to come looking for you if somebody you never even met happened to test positive and you were in a place nearby them. Do not get any apps for your phone that where the government can track you. I don't even think I need to say that to most of the people listening to this. I mean, that would be absolutely insane. Hi, I'm going to install an app on my phone so everybody can track and trace me. Don't forget that loving, caring government that's going to do you good service and good work if you give them your location every minute of the day. Yeah, you don't think anybody else can hack into that and find out where you are? How about an ex who you don't get along with? How about a criminal who wants to rob your house? It's not very difficult to hack into somebody's computer app or telephone app. So I would be very careful about giving in personal information. Do not install any apps on your phone that will track you. 9 chances out of 10, they already have the technological systems in place to track you. They just want to see if they can get your consent. And with your consent, then they can get away with it legally and lawfully because you signed on for it. So, anybody out there not received their stimulus money? I haven't. You think I'm on the political enemies list? I said from day one, I said, I guarantee, mark my words, I'm not trying to think negatively, and I want to be positive, and I want to have an positive outlook, but I said, you watch, mark my words, Eric the Freedom Screamer will never receive a penny from the idiot government. I'm sure I'm on the political enemies list. And sure enough, that lying pig in the White House, not that the lying pigs out of the White House are any different, but of course to stand up there and say, everybody's going to get money. Everybody's not getting money. It's not happening. If anybody out there who thinks that everybody's getting their money is living in a dream world, it's a lie. There's a whole bunch of people out there who haven't got their money yet. Only the it looks to me like only the people who already get a check for Social Security, who already get a check for disability, or who are stupid enough to file papers with the Internal Revenue Service, those are the only ones who are getting checks. So until you contract with the idiot revenue service, you don't get anything. Does anybody really think that contracting with the Internal Revenue Service, and when you call them, when you contact them, you contract with them, okay? As soon as you contact them, break the ice, touch down, go to their website, sign in. Hi, it's me. Here's my SS number. Everything, right? Hi, can I have some? You're contracting with them. And as soon as you contact to contract, you're screwed. You're under their jurisdiction. The last place you want to be is under the jurisdiction of an independent revenue agency, which is nothing more than a collection racket for the bankers. Because don't forget, The Treasury Department does not issue the currency. The Treasury Department may be in charge of where the printing presses are. I hear they're in South Korea now and nowhere in the United States. Isn't that great? But the Treasury Department does not issue our currency. The currency is issued by the Federal Reserve Board. Why is it not called the Federal Reserve Agency? Because it's not a government agency. It's a board, like a board of directors that a private corporation has. That's why they call it the Federal Reserve Board. It's a board of directors of a private corporation, an international corporation operating under UCC law, that decides how much money is going to be put into our economy. And then they give the Treasury Department, not the president, the Federal Reserve Board gives the Treasury Department the thumbs up and says, go ahead, print another $1 billion. Give it to Lockheed Martin. Give it to Boeing. Give it to Martin Marietta. Give it to the military industrial contractors. Give it to anybody who signs on the dotted line with the Internal Revenue Service, which is collecting for the Federal Reserve Board. And get everybody to contract with you so they're walking right into the spider's web. I'm actually glad. I mean, as much as I could use the money, I'm actually glad that I didn't get it. I'm not going on the IRS's website and entering my name. Hi, it's me. I'm here. Come and get me. Come and get my stuff. Come lien my property when I fall. Come check my paperwork to see if I failed to cross a T or dot an I properly or I missed one little thing. And come down and give me fines and audit me and look into my stuff. And hi, here, bend over. Here's the Vaseline. Come get me. Hi, I'm all here for you, Internal Revenue Service. Great. So I hope people were wise enough and are wise enough as we move forward to do not have any contact with the government in any way, especially with your money. And look, I know people desperately need the money, and I don't fault somebody for taking it. If you got to pay your bills, feed the kids, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But people who are just taking it to go shopping, I've heard plenty of reports of people, they got enough money already. They're getting unemployment more than they make working. And then they get the stimulus money and they got extra cash to burn, so they go shopping. I've heard there are people who are using their stimulus money to invest in the stock market and buy stock. Boy, that's an essential food on the table type of thing, isn't it? Boy, we need that. We need to give some more of this made up money that drives our inflation up, which is inflation is a tax. So the printing of currency, which causes it to inflate and become worthless, is a de facto tax. It's like taxing a person's life. It's like taxing the economy. So all the Federal Reserve Board has to do is print a lot of money, give it to their cronies, that gives them a great deal of wealth, but overall in the long run, it drives the value of the money down. And when the value of the money goes down, you have to have more of it in your pocket to survive. See the scam? So if people can at all avoid any contact with the IRS or any contact with it, you're letting them walk right into your personal financial. Hi, for the unfilers, for the non-filers, come to our website. Hi, I'm here. Hi, it's Eric the Freedom Screamer. Can I have my $1,200? I'm a non-filer. See? Hi. Oh, yeah, you want, come on and steal my stuff now. I mean, people, you're just leaving the door open for them to confiscate everything you have. You're going to go to the IRS website and admit that you're a non-filer or enter any information at all? It's suicidal. So, and I'll tell you why this whole thing is a scam and the numbers are a lie. I'm getting reports from everywhere. Everywhere I turn, I'm hearing about somebody's relative died from a heart attack and the hospital wrote COVID on the death certificate. I was talking about the first person I ran into. It was the day before yesterday. My friend's fiance, she came to pick him up at work. I said, hey, how's it going? Boy, did you hear? You know, I told her the quick thing about how I had some firsthand information about, you know, this fraudulent death certificate, doctors writing COVID on the death certificate when it had nothing to do with coronavirus, so they could get the money, the extra money from the government. We'll talk about that in a minute. The first person I ran into said, oh, yep, my friend Heather Iantorno just posted on Facebook, and this is why I'm giving her name out, because the woman posted it on Facebook. She's not looking to remain anonymous. So my friend's fiance said, yeah, my buddy Heather Iantorno just posted on Facebook that her grandmother got sick. She was released from the hospital free of COVID. She died a week later of something else, and the hospital wrote coronavirus on the death certificate. According to Senator Scott Jensen of Minnesota, who's also a physician, one of the few, maybe the only senator who is an actual doctor as well, said that the hospitals are getting where they would normally get $5,000 for a pneumonia case from Medicare, now they're getting $13,000 instead of $5,000 for a COVID sickness, and $39,000 if the coronavirus patient goes onto a ventilator. Oh, boy. So all this financial incentive. Plus, it turns out there's a 20% Medicare reimbursed add-on. It's called a DRG, diagnosis-related group add-on, where the hospital can tack on 20% on a patient's bill if they have anything to do with coronavirus. Oh, boy, I'm sure they're going to be writing a lot of coronaviruses on their diagnosis. And guess what? They left the door open. Listen, this is where the attorneys came in. They not only left it originally where you could put probable on the death certificate for coronavirus. That means they don't have to be laboratory confirmed that they had the coronavirus when the patient at the hospital dies. They did not have to be confirmed by a laboratory test that they had coronavirus. The hospital can write probable. And guess what? They've even changed the word probable now to plausible. Plausible, not probable. The difference between plausible and probable is like night and day. Probable means it most likely happened. The preponderance of the evidence is that it 99% chance or somewhere, you know, 9 out of 10 chance it happened, so to speak. Plausible means, sure, I guess anything could. It's possible. It could, may, might. It's plausible that aliens could have come down from another planet and dropped the coronavirus at 20 different locations and watch it spread. Anything's plausible. Very few things are probable with this coronavirus. So now they've got the probable, they've got the even worse now, plausible, and so now they can just say, well, it's plausible. I mean, gosh, the person could have coronavirus, and maybe the test didn't register properly, or, you know, maybe we didn't catch it right, this, that, and anything's plausible. So now plausible cases get listed as coronavirus deaths. So anybody can be listed as a death, and the government can do whatever they want with the numbers. It's just plausible this, probable that, maybe, maybe not, who knows, but hey, it's possible, it's plausible. So let's just write coronavirus on the death certificate. The government will release those numbers to the public through the prostitute media and scare everybody into submission. Now, we had on Memorial Day, this is over a month ago, hundreds of people at the VFW Chicken Barbecue in Belfast, New York, small town just north of where I live. Not a one person there was wearing a mask, none, zero. I was looking, I was not going to go there because I was afraid a bunch of yo-yos would be running around like idiots wearing their stupid masks, but believing numbers that are lies coming from politicians who are liars. And doctors who are liars as well, because they have a lot of stake in this. Who do you think the doctors work with? They work in conjunction with hospitals. They rely on these Medicare, Medicaid, government boondoggles. And if you don't think it's a boondoggle, read this: the CARES Act, the Coronavirus Aid and Relief. Oh God, Relief Aid Assistance Relief and Economic Securities Act, CARES, the CARES Act, because the government cares about you. Run through it. Now, you don't have to read the whole thousands of pages of text. You can go to the American Hospital Association, the AHA, has a really good special bulletin, it's called. Type into your search engine, special bulletin, American Hospital Association, coronavirus. And you'll see a special bulletin that they sent out, which is a great, an overview with good detail, but condensed. So you can see what's going on there. Billions of dollars for telehealth, billions of dollars for hospitals, billions for reimbursement, 20% Medicare add-on. I've never seen the hospitals run into so much cash, so much money. They're loving this coronavirus. They're thriving on it. Their whole existence right now is based upon the coronavirus. So what are they going to do? They're going to toe the government line. If the government wants those numbers up and people on lockdown to keep the economy quelled and so the big corporations can come in and pick up, scoop up all these smaller businesses, which is what's happening. So if we had hundreds of people with no mask, if there was a real pandemic, there would have to be a spike in the numbers. There would have to be somebody getting sick. There would have it would have to show somewhere, somewhere. It's no way it could. There could be a pandemic, and hundreds of people are getting together. This is in New York now, Western New York. So we're not near New York City, but we're still in New York State. And they're claiming that, you know, the stuff spreads and you can go from here to there, and someone can bring it in from another county. And I mean, we got people here who commute to Buffalo and Rochester and all over Hornell and Wellsville and Olean for work. And, you know, so there would have to be some spike in the numbers, some overt, you know, indicator that, that there's a pandemic. Okay, now, no masks and no social distancing. People weren't, like, standing away from each other and saying, ew, get away from me. Ew, why are you not wearing a mask? What are you, a super spreader? Put your mask on. Follow the rules. How come you're not obeying Julius Caesar when he tells you what to do? Do whatever the corrupt pigs tell you to do, and your life will be just fine. Oh, sure it will. That's a recipe for disaster. So, hundreds of people at the VFW on Memorial Day a month ago, during the height of the pandemic, shoulder to shoulder, no masks, and guess what? No sickness. How about Lancaster Speedway? I wasn't there, but I have reliable reports from people who were. There was over 500 people at Lancaster Speedway 3 or 4 weeks ago. And the people at the scene said you could count on one hand the number of people wearing masks, which I find awesome. So those Speedway people are hip. The Western New York people know what's going on. There cannot be. If you had 500 people, and then Lancaster Speedway is a little closer to Buffalo than we are here. So you're getting even closer to the city. You have people coming from the city out to that place, all over, you know, different parts of the city, different little townships and suburbs and inner city, outer city, suburbs, country, all going to Lancaster Speedway, all converging from different places, towns, and counties. And guess what? So let's say 500 people were there, and he said one hand you could count the masks. So 495 out of the 500 people at Lancaster Speedway a few weeks ago were no masks and no social distancing. And guess what? No sickness, no pandemic, no nothing. No ventilators, no toilet paper shortage. Hype. Scam. The government wants you to obey. This is obedience training. The mask is an obedience training. It's several things, but the two biggest ones are obedience training. Sit. Give me your paw. Roll over. Play dead. Wear a mask. The second is to divide and conquer the American people. How does the government get to control a bunch of people who are screaming freedom and demanding freedom and exercising freedom and living as free people? Well, there's not enough government agents to control all these free people. So you have to get the people to control the people for you. And how do you get people to control other people? First, you divide them. You give them something that will separate them. So we have those who wear the mask, those who do not wear the mask. The mask is a big deal, forcing somebody to cover their mouth and literally slowly suffocate themselves by reducing the available oxygen and increasing the viral load, because if you have it, you're going to breathe it back into the mask. And all the other auxiliary stupidities, like I saw a kid the other day who I like very much. He's early 20s, really nice guy. He took his mask and used it as a towel to wipe the sweat off his forehead. Okay, I watched a woman checking out customers at a grocery store cough hard into her mask and not cover her mouth. That stuff blows right through the mask. Oh, by the way, I heard that the packaging for the mask you buy at the store says right on the package, this will not prevent you from getting the coronavirus. Okay, why the hell would I want to wear it? So people, and if anybody's out there running with this, well, can we just make everybody feel better by wearing a mask? I do it out of respect to make people feel good. It's not up to me to make anybody feel good by stuffing something in my mouth and slowly suffocating me. It's not up to me to make you feel good and feel safe. That's your problem. If you can't feel good or feel safe, don't go out. Stay home. Bye. You don't tell me that I got to start putting things on my body that are highly dangerous, highly toxic, and highly immoral to make you feel good. I don't think so, Jack. Okay, so go get some mental counseling. Go get a psych evaluation if you're running around claiming that everybody else has to make you feel good by wearing a mask. So, that's not enough. The VFW chicken barbecue where nobody had a mask or social distancing. The Lancaster Speedway speedrun where nobody had a mask and nobody was social distancing. And no spike in the numbers. If that's not enough for you, how about this one? Owner of a local restaurant here. Right around here, right near where I live. And she consented to having her name released in the paper. So anybody who wanted, would know that, she may have had it and this and that. Apparently she tested positive, never got sick, just tested positive. And she runs a major restaurant in this area. She was even at the farmer's market with no mask. She had conversations with people I know personally, less than 6 feet away for more than 15 minutes in duration. And guess what? Older people, too, with pre-existing conditions, nobody got sick. Nobody's injured. Nobody's dying. Nobody's on a ventilator. Nothing, nothing, nothing. So, and by the way, she went and isolated herself. And I haven't heard one report of anybody who caught anything from her. She never actually even was sick. She just tested positive. So look what happens. All they have to do is give you a false positive, and they can lock down not only you, but everybody you know. So back to the beginning of this broadcast, don't give anybody your personal address or information. I had it happen the other day, and I won't do it. If you are going to do it, if it's something you have to go, you got to get in a store to get food or something, give them a phony name and a false address. You don't have to be honest with these devils who are trying to destroy you. That's not appropriate. You're digging your own grave if you do that. You're braiding the rope to hang yourself with if you're stupid enough to share your personal information with a bunch of idiots and dirtballs who are going to use it against you and use it against all your friends and use it against all the people who may have been nearby you if you test positive, people you don't even know. You're screwing people over you've never met before. That's not cool. Do you want them doing that to you? So, please, boycott any. This is an epic battle. So, how do you get people to enforce the government will on the free people? You divide the people and get the obedient government bootlicking cowards to go after the free people. In other words, hassle that person wearing a mask. That person's an outcast. That person's a super spreader. That person's a danger to society. That person's a danger to community. All these communist concepts that they're floating out. So they get all the meanies and all the bootlickers and all the cowards and all the fools who enjoy the mask, who drive around in their car wearing the mask, who walking outside and nobody's anywhere to be found and they get a stupid mask on. You get them to enforce the mask thing. You get them to go after the free people who want to be left alone. You get them to come down hard on the people who do not want to wear a mask. And then you don't even need the police. You've already created your public public terrorist unit of American sheeple who will do anything they're told and then think that it's appropriate to force that on somebody else. How disgusting is that? And as we're going forward, we're going to be coming into forced vaccinations. So I highly recommend people, and the only thing that's going to keep you safe is if we wake up that group of sheeple, those bootlicking cowards, the people who put Hitler in power, the people who will do whatever they're told if you scare them enough. And we need to get through the veil. We need to get through the fog and alert them to what's going on. And so do your best to be patient with people. Don't get in fights and arguments. I speak passionately on this audio blog, but when I'm one-on-one or in a group with people who are of differing opinions or, a little more gently, be diplomatic, be friendly, be polite, be professional, but be firm in your resolve and absolutely boycott any place that's pimping the mask. Support hardcore with your dollars. Go out of your way. Go far. Spend $10 in gas if you have it to go shop at a place that does not wear a mask. The store I shop at, right up the road from where I live, 5 minutes from here, the owner has everything. They got food. They got toilet paper, paper towels, you know, a couple of aisles with like a general store, you know, pasta and beans and, you know, canned goods. So they have a produce section with, you know, veggies, different stuff. And they got lettuce, apples, bananas, avocados, you know, bags of lemons and stuff, citrus fruit. And then they have a cooler with meat. All right, so you can get your meat there. And they got a cooler with ice cream, lots of ice cream. We're going to have lots of ice cream in the summer. Totally cool with that. And a hardware section. Okay, so that's cool. And an ammunition section. Oh, yes. So because they were a general store in the classic American sense, they were not able to be shut down from selling ammunition, where the small gun stores were shut down by a special unit of the New York State Police that was delegated with going specifically after small gun stores. Oh, you don't have enough social distancing in your gun store. Shut them down. Oh, of course, but Walmart could stay open and sell all the guns and ammunition they want. Don't forget, you got to hand your ID to the person at Walmart when you're buying ammo, so you get databased on that one. So whereas at a small gun store, they just sell you the ammunition, you're out the door, you're not in any, your birth date's not recorded, and all this other garbage where they can track you down without too much work. So how about that for the state police? Good boy, you don't want to defund the police, you think the police are good, and you want to hang on to your police and have protection, you think they're protecting. Here's your state police's idea of protection. Shut down gun stores that were the only mechanism for people to protect themselves. Now, if they leave Walmart open, so the big box store, the multinational corporation that's ripping off the people, treating their employees like garbage, paying them almost nothing. I know people who barely could stay alive from their paycheck at Walmart, and they make it that way, while the corporate officers are rolling six figures. Oh, yeah, sometimes more. So there's your police. So for all you people out there who think, we wouldn't want to defund the police, man, we need police. Do you really? I think we need ourselves, and we need our neighbors, and we need our family. That's who we need. I live in a valley here where everybody's armed, and everybody's pretty much on the same page, slight differences here and there, but we could all put them aside if we had to fight for freedom, and people are and they will. So we need our family, we need our friends. We don't need the government police to keep us safe, because what are they going to do? They're going to go out and shut down gun stores, so now you can't go get anything to protect yourself. Oh, and you go to Walmart, and they're running low on ammo here, and they're out of these guns there. So you see how they can pigeonhole everybody into the one place to buy the guns and ammo, and then restrict the supply from that Walmart. So if you think the police are good, you're living in an absolute dream world. The police have to go. We need nothing but sheriffs. That's all we need, because a sheriff can be elected out of office. I'm not saying there's good sheriffs out there. There's a few. There's a lot of really bad ones. Why? Because people are stupid enough to vote on a political party line. They won't seek somebody who's an independent. They'll insist on voting for that D for dum-dum and that R for reject. And well, the Democrats and the Republicans, there's got to be somewhere in those two parties. Got to vote for one of those two parties. Can't vote for anybody else because your vote will be wasted. Oh, really? Would your vote be more wasted if you vote for someone that your conscience approves of, someone that you know will be a good candidate, even though you know they might lose? Is it better to do that and vote for the good person who might lose, or is it better to vote for a complete skank who works for one of two political corporations, the Democrats and the Republicans, who both take orders from the banking establishment? Is it better to vote for one of them because they're going to win? They're more likely to win? Or is it better to vote for your conscience for somebody good, regardless of what they're going to win, lose, or draw? When you go to your maker at the end of your life, he's not going to say, how many winners did you vote for? Did you throw away your vote? No, it's going to be, where was your conscience? Did your conscience tell you to do that? Well, my conscience said do something else, God, but, you know, I had to do what was practical, and you vote for the lesser of two evils. And then I think you're probably going to get something like, well, the lesser of two evils is still evil. And at that point, I hope the Lord will forgive everybody, but we have to walk the walk here. The Bible says, who will stand up for me against the evildoers? Who will rise up for me against the workers of iniquity? The Bible says, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. Okay, there's all kinds of calls to action in there. thy wisdom and thy knowledge it hath perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. Boy, that sounds like most of the senators, judges, doctors, governors, presidents, and congress people to me, and corporate officers. So, stick to your conscience. You want a solution? I'll offer myself up. Write Eric the Freedom Screamer on your next ballot. Write in candidate. They're never going to let me get on the ballot. So I'm wasting my time trying to go out and gather signatures to get on their corrupt, bogus, screwed up, idiotic ballot. So just write it in. I'm coming directly to the people. Write in Eric the Freedom Screamer on your ballot for whatever office you want to vote for me for across the board. I don't care what. It sends a message. If I get 50,000 people who write in Eric the Freedom Screamer on their ballot, I could go into almost any political prostitute's office and say, hey, I want this. We need to do that. Do this. Do not do that. Okay? And do it at the behest of the people and freedom and all the concepts we talk about here. So, hey, I'll put my life where my mouth is. I'll run for office. Eric the Freedom Screamer. And the first thing I'm going to do is liquidate the de facto government and put it back to the du jour, the land jurisdiction, where nobody has to, you know, go along with being a stupid citizen, a member of a political community, a legally recognized subject. I ain't no stinking subject. So I'll offer people a solution. Write in Eric the Freedom Screamer. If thousands of people start doing that, the system's going to have a complete conniption, and they're not going to know what to do. It's going to show the political prostitutes that the people have power and we have other ideas than voting for an idiot Democrat or an idiot Republican. The Republicans simply hold the line for the next batch of Democrats until they come in. That's why every time you have a Reagan, you know, supposed conservative, or a Trump, you know, supposed patriot, nothing really fundamentally ever gets restored as far as freedom goes. The corporations still, you know, control the situation. Gotta love those corporations. Trump's a huge corporatist. Police are great, man. We got to get more police, more money, and more equipment. Trump's huge on that. He gave $600 million to the police departments. $600 million of military equipment. This is about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I raised a big stink about it. I said, listen, people, all you patriots who love Trump, he just gave $600 million, not in cash. He gave $600 of military equipment. You know, MRAPs, you know, little mini tanks, machine guns, you know, all kinds of garbage, surveillance equipment. Oh, I didn't see that the police using any of that fancy military equipment on the violent rioters. I'm not going to use the word protest because protest is good. Rioting is bad. You'll see many people trying to morph riot into protest and say violent protest, or those protesters are rioting. Protesters don't riot. Protesters protest. Rioters riot. Protesters very rarely riot, and rioters don't protest. The two are completely mutually exclusive. So let's keep that in mind. So protest is essential, and at this time when the government and the corporations are trying to divide the people and get the whatever, let's say that the 50%, half of the people who want to wear the mask fighting with the other people who do not want to wear the mask, and get the people fighting each other, the government can sit back in their easy chair, cross their legs, have a smoke, a nice big fat donut, and just watch the people go at each other like a bunch of ninnying idiots, mask, no mask, this, that, and whatever else you want to obey. So don't give the government the satisfaction. Boycott any place that's pimping the mask. Most of the Burger King, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Chick-fil-A, they're all pimping this, hey, we got a new thing here. And they're showing you all their employees with the mask, trying to get you comfortable with it, and all the cute little music in the background, and all these stupid tables with giant red X's on them, say, you can't sit here, you can sit here, you can't sit here, you can sit here, but you cannot sit there. Every other table vacant. I mean, who would even want to go to a mainstream restaurant? So, and I know the smaller restaurants are trying to comply to go along with the flow and stay open, but that's a recipe for disaster. People have to man up, gut up, get some sack, and start challenging these things. And you got to go into the court, take the pinch, argue your license. They want to revoke your license. I know. They want to fine you. I know. Too bad. This is why I set up courtroom watch. for people who want to go to court, I'll help you do it. I'll help you defend yourself. I'll help organize a group of people to go into court with you. A lot of it's going to be up to you yourself, but I'll do whatever I can for my position. We've had really good success. About, I would say, 90% of the cases that we got involved in, we got the people out of major prison or psychiatric hospital incarcerations strictly for their patriotic activities or their political beliefs. None of these people were dangerous criminals. I don't particularly look to come to help out a murderer or a rapist. They should all get due process. But I'm looking to help those people who were obviously railroaded, obviously innocent, mothers who had their children taken because the husband had power over the court. The mother couldn't afford an attorney. The husband could. The mother loses the kid. And it goes the other way. Sometimes the court will act in favor of the mother and rip off the father. It just depends on the jurisdiction, and it depends on the situation. So don't paint with a broad stroke and say, well, all the mothers are getting screwed and the fathers are getting the good deal. There's a whole group camp that says, no, the fathers, and they can prove it, the fathers are getting screwed in a lot of cases, and the mothers are getting everything. You know, they have seen it go both ways. So there's no this or that. It's kind of a lot of whatever they can get at that time of that court appearance and that court case. So I'm highly encouraging people to boycott these restaurants that are trying to paint you into a new normal. There's no new normal. It's an oxymoron. Normal is something that has been. When there's a new normal, it's not normal anymore. It's just new. They want you to think, though, that the new thing is normal, and it's not. So especially when it's covering your face. I mean, look, sorry, folks, but the only people that wear face coverings are criminals, cowards, and Muslim women. And I know that there are people out there who are stuck with their job and the demands, you know, you got to wear the mask or lose your job. I don't fault people. They're doing it under duress. You do what you have to do, but resist up until the very final moment. Look for another job. I mean, I know, I'll give you a great example, give you people some hope about how you can make it through this, even in the darkest of times. Was on the phone with a husband and wife, another state. The wife was upstairs in tears because the nursing home she worked at had just closed down and she lost her job and the health care for her children. But the husband runs a small business. And he's now going to have his wife work with him. We're doing the books and working the front desk, answering the phones where it was a small thing. You know, he's got 30, 40, maybe 50 clients that come in on a regular basis for servicing. And it's a neat little business and he does well. And he could always use the help, and it keeps the family together, and he's going to be spending more time with his wife, which is good, you know, to build, strengthen the relationship. They're working, doing business together. The business will excel. It'll really take some of the load off the guy who does most of the service work, the husband, and the wife will have a job, and she'll be working as a team with her family. And guess what? You know, no more paperwork, no more nursing home nightmare, no more masks, no more IRS. And I think it looked to me to be a really good, and they were very happy about it too. She was in tears because she had just lost the job. I mean, it was fresh that night. You know, it was immediate. So, but we all agreed, and I mean, and it's working out much better for them. Even at the time when the tears were flowing, you know, we all agreed that hey, this is going to be, you know, much better for the family because the husband and wife now can work as a team. They can work on their own business. The business will thrive. The nasty nursing home nightmare will be. And look, I know nursing homes are necessary for people who don't have a place to go. But for the people who work there to be abused and put out of work and have their nursing home shut down. Oh, by the way, this woman witnessed firsthand a patient go into fibrillation, basically have a heart attack. The EMTs came to the nursing home. They rushed him to the hospital. The gentleman died of a heart attack, and the hospital in Florida fraudulently wrote coronavirus on the death certificate so they could get what Senator Scott Jensen described as $13,000 for a coronavirus case, $39,000 for a ventilator case. So they go on a ventilator and end up dying, which most of the ventilator patients did and do. They get the $39,000 instead of $5,000. So that's $34,000 extra dollars that the hospital gets for every patient that expires so that it can label as a plausible coronavirus death. Anything's plausible. They're going to start writing coronavirus on everything. And for a while there, they were. I never heard of anybody dying of anything else for about 2 months there. Every death was coronavirus. Nobody died of a heart attack. Nobody died of a stroke. I mean, they did, but it's not what was being admitted to. The hospitals were just willy-nilly all over the place across the board using this coronavirus as their boondoggle. If you doubt it, read the CARES Act, C-A-R-E-S. I'll say it again. It's the Coronavirus Assistance, Relief, and Economic Security Act. And you should see what's in there. So not only is there the 20% add-on for Medicare payment that I mentioned before, where the hospital, any patient that they have that's labeled as coronavirus, can tack on 20%, and the government pays for it. It's not a 20% that the patient pays for. That's our money. So you see, they're just ripping us off left and right. Oh, and how about this one? $127 billion fund in the CARES Act to reimburse hospitals for their COVID-19 expenses. There's 6,000 hospitals, roughly, in the United States. I did my research, between 5,000 and 6,000 hospitals, some short-term care, some long-term care, some psychiatric, some acute, some critical. Okay, so let's go with the high number of, this is what I did my division on, 6,000 hospitals getting a pool of $127 billion. Anybody want to take a guess as to what that comes out to per hospital? Over $21 million for every hospital, small, medium, and large. I would call that very, very powerful motivation to start labeling people as coronavirus, COVID-19. When there's $21 million for every hospital, on top of the 20% add-on for Medicare payments, the hospitals are cashing in. And they're making an absolute fortune on the coronavirus. They're not hurting. They're rolling in the dough. So I think I laid enough, a lot out there for today. Don't let the American people be divided and conquered. Do what you want with the mask, but only support those establishments who are leaving it up to the person. Is there, you know, do you want to wear a mask? You do? Okay, great. Come on in. You don't want to wear a mask? Fine. Come on in. Not taking any names and telephone numbers at the door, not sharing personal information with a complete stranger. By the way, if somebody says, hey, can I have your name? And you can say, is this health? Okay, so here, I'm going to slow down on this. If you're walking up, here's an important kind of a plan of action for people. You're approaching an establishment that's got somebody at the door with a pencil and paper. And this is going on now. It happened to me the other day at Wellspring Ministries. Hi, what's your name? John Smith, what's your address? Blah, 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 blah. So when they first ask your name, you say, what is this for? And they'll say, well, we have to take your name if you want to come in here. Now listen to this, people. The one woman at Wellspring Ministry who was running the desk there where you sign in, and it wasn't just sign in. It was give me your name, your address, and your personal information so we can come get you if somebody here tests positive in the future. And the woman actually said, I said, what is this for? And she said, you have to register if you're going to come in, if you walk into our building and breathe our air, you have to be registered. You have to register if you're going to come in our building and breathe our air. How far down the toilet of insanity have we gone where you have to sign in to breathe somebody else's, to breathe the air? Their air. Does anybody else have a problem with that besides me? So, please sign in. If you stepped inside our building, you've had to register because you're breathing our air. Oh, great. So, first thing you want to say is, what is this for? And they say, well, you have to register because you're breathing our air and we have to have contact tracing. Oh, really? So this is health-related, correct? Well, yes, but not in it's a violation of the HIPAA laws, that's the health privacy laws, HIPPA, the HIPAA laws, which protect your privacy regarding health information. So you tell them, any questions that you ask me regarding any health-related situation, you don't have to be sick, you don't have to be at a hospital, you don't have to be at the doctor's office to enjoy HIPAA law protections. You just ask that person at the desk, is this a health-related concern? And they'll say, yes, it's for coronavirus. Okay, you're violating the HIPAA laws openly, and that's a felony. What are you going to do? Where are we going to go now? And they'll argue, well, we have to, because they would say, well, listen, you're not showing me any law that says I have to sign in. You're just mentioning somebody else giving you orders. And I have the HIPAA law here right in my pocket. And the HIPAA law protects my private information regarding any health-related issue. And signing in for a coronavirus contact tracer situation is definitely a health-related issue. So challenge them on that. You're in violation of the HIPAA laws. I must object to you asking me personal information regarding this health-related matter. And a lot of times they get them to back off. If they won't let you in, you say, well, I won't be shopping here anymore. You turn around and you walk away and go find another place that's not going to demand a mask. They're out there. Okay, once again, the general store I shop at every day or, you know, all the time, no mask. The owner doesn't wear a mask. The employees don't wear masks. The girls in the deli don't wear masks. None of the shoppers that go there are wearing masks. Elderly people are coming in all the time with no mask. They can't stand it. The woman who I help take care of has a pile of pre-existing conditions, diabetes. She was a cancer survivor, had most of the organs in her stomach taken out, took full hysterectomy, ulcer on her leg. I mean, I could go on and on. And she's a trooper. I mean, you know, a good trooper, not a street trooper. She's a real war horse. She will not wear a mask. She's totally healthy. She doesn't live in fear. She takes good care of herself. She takes a nice array of vitamins and mineral supplements, good ones. She's up on her vitamin C. I make sure she gets her vitamin C every day. Certain forms are better than others. Eat well. Screen the ingredients. Don't just grab that box off the shelf because it looks tasty. Read the ingredients. I've got all the sodium acid pyrophosphate, the aluminum sulfate, the canola oil, all out of her diet. She's doing real well, actually healthier than she was when she came back from Florida. So, you know, with the VFW chicken barbecue on Memorial Day, hundreds of people, no social distancing, no mask. The Lancaster Speedway speed run car race, hundreds of people, no social distancing, no mask. The woman who owns the restaurant here, right here locally, no social distancing, no mask. Tested positive, but nobody ever got sick. Okay. And then the general store that I shop at, God bless the general store, because the general store has ammunition, and because they have food there, they couldn't be shut down, so they could still sell ammo. I'm sure that rubbed the government really the wrong way, but guess what? Too bad. And word is from the police that they're waking up, and they're not as hip to the skin. They're not as willing to go along with these illegitimate orders anymore. The police have realized that Caesar has sold them out. The Praetorian Guard has realized that Julius Cuomo has sold them out. And he has. It's now a felony for a police officer to share any information on an illegal alien with the Federal Immigration Department. Now, if there's one function that government should be having, it's just to protect our country from invaders, whether it's, you know, overt, covert, armed, unarmed, it doesn't matter. You know, people, you can't just, the country has limits. It's not an infinite place. And everybody in the world wants to come here. You just can't bum rush the border. The United States of America lets in millions, I think it's over 2 million a year, legally through the front door, through the system we have. So, I mean, do you want millions coming over the border beyond that? I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen. Your country's going to be destroyed, and you're not going to have what you used to have, and there's not going to be what people come here for, which is freedom and prosperity. That's going bye-bye. So it's now a felony. Cuomo made it a felony. He's inserted the language into the bill that he presented to the legislature, and the legislature just rubber stamps everything that Cuomo gives them. And now it's a felony. The police will be charged with a felony if they pull somebody over, look at their license or whatever, find out they're here illegally to come from another place and they just came snuck over. If they call the, you know, immigration service and say, you know, we got some people here who are, you know, illegals, they'll They'll get prosecuted for a felony. The cop will, not the illegal alien. The police officer who pulls them over and shares the information with the feds. So, what a cluster, huh? What great comeuppance. The police are finally experiencing a taste of their own tyranny. They thought it was so cool, that paycheck, that pension, and that paradigm, all going along nice and smooth, make a ton of money, obeying Caesar, come up with any reason you can to pull people over and just leech money out of their pocket through the court system. Now they're getting their comeuppance. Now they're getting a taste of their own medicine. Now they're seeing what it's like when the chickens come home to roost. And there, now we have the state police or any police, any sheriff, deputy, municipal police, local cop, town, state, doesn't matter. That cop is going to get charged with a felony for sharing information on illegals. Don't you just love it? I mean, in a way, I mean, I don't really want to see anybody in misery, but you got to say this is karma, kind of. This is the, what goes around comes around, that the police are finally getting a taste of their own medicine. They're going to be charged now with felonies for doing their job. Okay, so they can start to see now, and they are. I hear that they're waking up all across the board quietly because they don't, you know, they could come out hard and heavy and all lose their jobs, and, you know, which I would like to see that happen and have them all defect over to the freedom movement and leave no more police, just a well-armed, strong, secure, and morally upstanding population that doesn't hurt their neighbor or do anything stupid, and you really don't need police. By the way, if we took the drug war out of the equation, there would be no violence in the inner cities because there'd be prosperity and there'd be no profit in drugs. If there's no profit, people aren't going to fight over it. Who's going to fight over something that's cheap? They're going to fight over something that's expensive. We already learned all these things during Prohibition back in the 20s and 30s when alcohol was made illegal for 10 years. It destroyed the country. Crime went through the roof. Huge gangs. Al Capone. Good God, wasn't it? Who was one of the Kennedy clan founding fathers of the Kennedy clan? I believe it was Joe Kennedy. You know, was involved in bootlegging, and I'll get into that later when I have the details in front of me because I don't want to shoot from the hip on that and get my facts wrong. But I mean, some major players in this country made their money, you know, off the criminal enterprise of illegal alcohol. So, and because so many people said, hey, screw you, we're going to do it anyway, and it did nothing but fuel crime. I mean, you know, if something's illegal, the mob's going to come in, the gangs are going to come in, whether it's the Italian mob, the Russian mob, the Crips, the Bloods, whoever. So if you make pink pantyhose illegal tomorrow, people would start killing each other over pink polka-dotted pantyhose. That's the way it is, because they can't get them. It's illegal. You can only find here and there $100 a pair now instead of 20 cents. This is how prohibition goes. And the government knows this. So, you know, and so this drug war is nothing more than prohibition on steroids, prohibition 2.0, prohibition that didn't work in the 1920s and 30s, and it's not working now for the people. It's working great for the cops, the lawyers, the judges, and the private prison building industry that's being packed full of nonviolent offenders in the drug war. And some violent offenders in the drug war, because once again, when you make something illegal, people are going to start fighting and killing each other over it. All you got to do is decriminalize. So there's not enough natural violence out there to justify sustaining these police forces who end up doing nothing but trampling on people's freedom 9 times out of 10. And that's being generous. I would say it's probably 98% of the time bogus freedom trampling tyranny, and maybe 1 or 2 times out of 100, a cop will run into a burning building and save a child. That's usually the fire department. Or they'll show up at a scene and where somebody's injured. That's usually the EMTs and the medical people. So they can't be there. The police can absolutely not protect you or keep you safe from anything. All they can do is show up as a glorified cleanup crew, clean up the mess and investigate. And so where does that leave us? We don't need many police. A small unit of investigators, and then the sheriff with his posse, if somebody is really a threat and has to be rounded up or taken out or taken down or hunted down or something. And those are very, very rare, that those situations where you have a public enemy on the loose really menacing people and hurting people. That's very rare. Minus the drug war, that's almost non-existent. Well, in other words, if you took the drug war out of the picture, decriminalized drugs, you'd find very little violence in the inner city. What are people going to have to fight about other than an occasional disagreement, a domestic dispute, something like that? So I'm fully in support of defunding the police. Get rid of them all. Let's have a strong, healthy sheriff's department that's constitutionally adherent, constitutionally minded, a common law sheriff, not a statutory sheriff, not a civil enforcement, you know, that's executing civil orders from the judge to take everybody's property and execute all these civil judgments. How about constitutional sheriffs? So, and then you can elect your sheriff out or in based on whether they're good or bad. So, yeah, zero police, some sheriffs, no more drug war, and dear God, people, please, this is an epic moment in history. Don't be divided. Walk gently and carry a big stick and support those places who leave the mask up to the individual and boycott those places who make it mandatory. This is where we all really need to, and you don't have to take up a gun, you don't have to hit the street, just get out there and just start, you know, communicating with people. Show them the study from Russell Blaylock, Dr. Blaylock, B-L-A-Y-L-O-C-K. He did the recent study on how the masks are extremely dangerous and cause more problems than they do, you know, they do more harm than good. So there's a good, well-known neurosurgeon. He's a very respected doctor who did a very, you know, coherent study on the dangers of the mask. So you could present that to people. Hand them the list of vaccine ingredients. Now, you can find this at courtroomwatch.com. That's courtroomwatch. And download the PDF file. I believe it's under the article that says, we need people to deliver these papers to private schools, especially Amish and Mennonite. There's four PDF files. One has the ingredients list, which everybody should read. You're never going to want to take a vaccine again after looking at that ingredients list. And forced vaccines are coming. There's a vaccine liability letter that you can, world class. This will cost $15,000 for you to have an attorney write this up. We got it up there for free. So download that vaccine liability letter, make copies, pass them out to everybody you know. Get one to your sheriff, the chief of police, the county commissioner, whatever you call it, your assemblyman or your congressman, anybody in a position of power or not should have that vaccine liability letter so they can see what their liability is. Even if they're not going to sign the letter, you can send it to them and ask them to read it and get back to you and let you know what they think. If you send your sheriff or your county commissioner a letter and you say, please review this vaccine liability letter and please let me know your thoughts. If they don't call you back, call them every day for a couple of weeks. Hey, I haven't heard back from you yet. Why haven't I heard back from you yet? You can call every day if you have a legitimate purpose. That's the legal standard. You're not harassing them by requesting a call back. So, and they can comment on it. They'll say, well, you know, I really can't comment as far as the town attorney has to do that. Okay, well, what do you think personally? Well, I really can't say blah, 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 blah. Well, next time I see you down at the market or out at the store or on the road, I'm going to ask you off the clock, off the county phone. I'm going to ask you face-to-face, what do you think? I hope you'll have an answer for me then, Mr. Commissioner, Mr. Sheriff, Mr. Judge, whomever. Okay, so, you know, press them. Be gentle and professional, but be a hassle in a good way. You can do all these things politely and professionally and still be firm and strong in your resolve. So seek out the smaller local stores that are struggling to stay alive that are going to leave the mask up to the individual. They're out there. Just get out to a smaller country town. Be a beautiful day out in the wilderness, you know, out taking a drive out a country road, and you go through these small towns, and a lot of them are very sadly, you know, struggling. And so you can help by spending your dollars at a place that's struggling and still independent and free and is giving you the freedom to decide whether you want to wear the mask or not. Not making you, forcing you to do it, acting like a government goon, acting as if they were the police, the enforcement agency for Cuomo, by telling you that you're going to wear a mask. Boy, that's just, don't need any more police then, I guess. The people will all police them, the people will police themselves in a really bad way, in a force way, in a way that's oppressive, in a way that violates your freedom. And you don't want that. So seek out these nice small stores where you can, choose to wear a mask or not, and support those places. And call the places that maybe you used to go to or like to go to or want to go to and tell them, hey, I noticed that you have a mandatory mask policy. is that true? And if they say, yeah, you have to wear a mask in the store, all right, well, listen, I'm not shopping there anymore. All my friends that I'm going to contact are not going to shop there anymore. I'm going to encourage them to boycott. And when you get to tell them about the study from Dr. Blaylock, a well-known neurosurgeon, so they can get the medical details from a medical person on the dangers of the mask. And when you get your mind back about you and you're back to sanity and you're not submitting to fear or submitting to unlawful orders, then I may come back and shop at your establishment. But until then, absolutely not. And I'm going to encourage everybody I know through my social media contacts, personal contacts, family, friends, in the neighborhood, outside, everywhere I can, I'm going to encourage them not to support your establishment. You're being absolutely oppressive, and until you reinstate a